Hello, I am Amy Wood, and I'm with Mike Popovich on the phone. We are talking about sharks. He's an avid angler in the Carolinas. He's in the Charleston area, and he goes out. In fact, he's on the way out now to go hunting sharks. And we figured if we pulled in somebody with experience like this, we could have an interesting conversation about how we can all avoid the shark encounters that we have seen so far this season in the Carolinas and all the way up and down the East Coast. So, Mike, what can we do to avoid sharks?
Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is clarify the misconception, a huge misconception, actually, that sharks are living thousands of miles out in the deep water and that something in the beach is luring them in. Particularly for us as shark fishermen, we actually get a lot of attention, negative attention, because we're seen as baiting the waters. And that's just not necessarily true. Black tips, for example, all live within 100 yards of the surf zone. And most of these sharks all eat food like whiting, for example. And whiting almost reflects like a mirror underwater. And so the shark fight that occurred in Isle of Palms, for example, was more or less a mistaken identity. Judging from the bite marks and the photos online, they're very triangular, so that's the first thing. But again, those whiting are reflecting almost like a mirror underwater. So his leg probably appeared that way, and when the shark bit, he let go once he realized that it wasn't a fish.
And that brings me to one of the points we hear about to avoid shark attacks. They say don't wear metallic jewelry and things that are shiny in the water because the sharks are attracted to that. They do think that might be a fish or a meal.
Absolutely. Black tips in particular are very visual hunters, so anytime they see a flash of light or a glimmer of a watch, they attack very aggressively and very quickly.
What other things can we do besides, for example, the shiny jewelry? I mean, are there times of the day we should stay away? If we see people fishing on the shore, should we not swim in that area? What other things should we think about?
My recommendation would probably to stay away from piers and jetties and things of structure. And the reason for that is because that seems to be where bait fish congregate. And where there's bait fish, there's going to be sharks. So that would probably be the first thing that I would recommend.
And when it comes to the shark hunting that you do, for example, you have a total catch-and-release program. You've got a number of anglers that are up and down the coast that are involved in what you do. And you guys are actually trying to get a system going to tag the sharks that you're catching and releasing so that we can better monitor where they are and the migration of sharks. Tell us about what you're up to in your organization.
Absolutely. Well, there's a nonprofit organization right now that develops satellite tags to monitor the behavioral patterns and the migration patterns of big great white. We essentially are going to try to buy tags from them and focus on the sharks that are commonly found within the surf zone in order to understand where they are going. I know in the Charleston area, it's fairly well known within the shark fishing community that there are no bull sharks here, which is pretty good for us because of the top three sharks that are responsible for fatal attacks, bull shark, in my opinion, is probably number one on that list, only because they frequent both fresh and saltwater in the area. So by tagging these sharks, we can understand whether or not they are just passing through on their way north or if they just don't like the waters here in Charleston being, you know, too murky or too marshy. We don't know. So we would like to help out the community by purchasing these satellite tags and placing them on the sharks that are in the surf and understanding more about them. And hopefully we get enough support from the locals here or just nationally, and with all things being equal, we may be able to find a way of even predicting where these sharks are so that we don't step foot in the water where they are.
Gotcha. What is the way we can connect with this group? What's the name of the group? Do you have a website? Or I know you said you have a GoFundMe page.
Yeah, absolutely. Our GoFundMe link is actually on our website. Our team name is Rec Room Fishing. We can be found on Facebook, recroomfishing.com, and we've got links on those two websites that your listeners or viewers can go to and help support our cause.
What do you think of this season? I mean, are you pretty surprised by how many sharks encounters there have been, and do you have any gut feeling about what is going on with them being more?
I'm not that surprised. Actually, statistically, it's still within that boundary of, you know, you're more likely to get bit by a dog than you are a shark. There have been millions and millions of people that have frequented the coastal Carolina area beaches, and to only have 7 attacks is statistically, it still holds true.
And when you think about some of the other things we should be aware of about shark behavior at the beach, you know, I've always heard, and I don't know if this is accurate, that, you know, the morning time, the evening time is not a great time to be in the water because that's like a feeding time. I mean, do they have feeding times? Are there certain times of the day we should avoid?
Absolutely. The best times for us to go fishing are during the incoming tides, morning dusk, when the sun is settling, the vision for these sharks are just adjusting, so we will see a lot more mistaken bites during those time periods.
So incoming tide and morning and dusk.
Yeah. We've had most success catching, we've had more success catching sharks on the incoming tide than we have on the outgoing. Usually it's at the shift of the tide, but incoming seems to be a little bit more favorable, at least for the locations that we fish at.
Well, that's interesting. What do you think about the catch and release idea? Like, what's the point, or what's the thrill? I'm going to have some pictures of you holding these massive sharks. I mean, why do you do it?
I do it for the thrill. I'm an adrenaline junkie, and There's nothing that gets my adrenaline pumping like paddling out in tiger-infested water with a big, bloody fish on the back of your kayak. It's pretty intense. The water, when you're looking down with your headlamp, looks a lot like the back of a tiger shark, and it's a thrill. I haven't done anything that compares to it. It's intense.
So wait a minute. So you're telling me that when you do this shark fishing, you're on like a kayak or something that small, a board? You're not in a big boat?
Yep. We are doing it right from the shore. So the folks that are swimming in the water, and this is, you know, back to our initiative for the satellite pack, is that, you know, these sharks are in the water. It's not fishermen baiting. It's not, crab traps or any of those excuses. The sharks are here. They've been here for millions of years, and some of our equipment is so big that we can't cast them. So in order to deploy our baits, we put it on the back of a kayak, and we paddle out about 300-400 yards, and then we drop it off, and we paddle back.
Wow. Well, listen, we are interested in learning more about you. We'll stay tuned to your website and find out what you're up to, and hope that the tag program can take off, because I think it would be interesting to be able to tell not just about the big great whites that are further out, but these other guys that are closer by and that are doing more damage.
Right, the tigers, the bulls, the dangerous predators, they're here, and that's why we feel it's real important to tag them, like we said, so we know where they are. So...
Well, thank you for your time, and happy...